This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Everybody is to leave here immediately. This cafe is closed until further notice. Clear the room at once.
How can he close me up on what ground?
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
You're winning, sir.
Oh, thank you very much. Everybody out at once.
Round up the usual suspects.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
The original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
New government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one exceptional American at a time. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, are we watching just amazing things right now and listening to, of course, here on Agenda 21 Radio, the Robert Mueller testimony before the House congressional hearing going on here. I guess this is judiciary. I don't know what you'd call it other than the three-ring circus, and the lack of performance, if you will, by Robert Mueller seems to be addled, seems to be off balance in many cases, and doesn't seem to recall a lot of things. And he's constantly having to refer back to his report. You know, it's not quite as boring as people thought it was going to be, but it's very bizarre, to say the least. And again, this is all caused by something that never happened. I mean, talk about pulling this out and all that stuff. We have Debbie Lasko. She's a Republican from Arizona. She's now questioning Robert Mueller. She's in the final stages. I think she's already had about 3 minutes. But I want to pick this one up and see where we're going with this and at this point in time.
Cited the Washington Post in your report.
I do not have knowledge of that figure, but I don't have knowledge of that figure.
I counted about 60 times. How many times did you cite the New York Times? I counted.
Again, I have no idea.
I counted about 75 times. How many times did you cite Fox News?
As with the other two, I have no idea.
About 25 times. I've got to say, it looks like Volume 2 is mostly regurgitated press stories. Honestly, there's almost nothing in Volume 2 that I couldn't already hear or know simply by having a $50 cable news subscription. However, your investigation cost the American taxpayers $25 million. Mr. Mueller, you cited media reports nearly 200 times in your report. Then in a footnote, a small footnote, number 7, page 15 of volume 2 of your report, you wrote, I quote, this section summarizes and cites various news stories not for the truth of the information contained in the stories, but rather to place candidate Trump's response to those stories in context. Since nobody but lawyers reads footnotes, are you concerned that the American public took the embedded news stories?
Time of the gentlelady has expired. The gentlelady from Washington.
Can Mr. Mueller answer the question?
No, we're running short on time. I said the gentlelady from Washington.
Thank you. Director Mueller, let's turn to the fifth of the obstruction episodes in your report, and that is the evidence of whether President Trump engaged in witness tampering with Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, whose foreign ties were critical to your investigation into Russia's interference in our elections. And this starts at volume 2, page 123. Your office got indictments against Manafort and Trump deputy campaign manager Rick Gates in two different jurisdictions, correct?
Correct.
And your office found that after a grand jury indicted them, Manafort told Gates not to plead guilty to any charges because, quote, he had talked to the president's personal counsel, and they were going to take care of us. Is that correct?
That's accurate.
And according to your report, one day after Manafort's conviction on 8 felony charges, quote, the president said that flipping was not fair and almost ought to be outlawed.
Well, we're going to suspend our little tete-a-tete, if you will, with what's going on here in this report. And we're going to bring in Chris Street. Chris Street's going to talk to you. We have some very, very big breaking news that we need to bring to you about what's going on with the Silicon Valley thing and, of course, China, the world financial situation. So we're going to be breaking away and getting into the conversation with Chris Street. So anyway, this has been a very, very interesting 2 hours just listening to this. It's unfortunate it's come to this, but I think if you want to rate the performance of Mueller, it's terrible. I think if you want to listen to the quality of the questioning of Mr. Mueller, clearly they're trying to lay out the case that there has been some sort of high crimes and misdemeanors that have been committed based upon a crime that never happened. See, this is all part and parcel to the same thing that we've been talking about for quite a while here. And like I said, we're going to be bringing Christie here in a moment. And because there's just too many big things other than this happening. We've got an investigation now going on with Ilhan Omar. Whatever her last name is. And she, of course, is distancing herself. She's not been cooperative with people who want to do this investigation into her. But anyway, we're going to bring in Chris Street right now so we can have a better conversation, if you will, one of the great conversations that Chris Street always brings to Agenda 21 Radio. And this is going to be a conversation about what's going on financially around the world right now, because there are some really big things going on, especially some of the reports that have been going on with Silicon Valley. And Apple Computer, we're finding out, is taking everything lock, stock, and barrel over to China. And Chris Street's going to bring us up to date on that. Chris, welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. Let me get rid of this other thing. I didn't realize we didn't kill it. We've been listening to the programs or to the hearings. I guess you'd call it straight up programming. Been kind of interesting. Have you been watching any of this stuff?
Well, I listened to a little bit, Paul, but you know, clearly here you have a bigger event going on. Last night, China put out a white paper that says they have the right to invade Taiwan. So it's a really complicated day, I would say.
Yeah,
and I think that what's interesting about the testimony is Mueller has been dissembling. You know, he's trying to pretend he's a 74-year-old guy and he's too old to know what he's talking about. And, you know, when they asked him, did you write your speeches, did you write your reports, he won't answer.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that don't in any way, shape, or form forget that these people are playing for the big banana. You know, there's a competition of ideas out there that is coming to, you know, a point of decision where you'll either win or lose depending on you know, what your game is as far as, you know, what I call the national interest. And the national interest really is, you know, can the United States and democracy survive in a world where you have such important issues as global climate change demand that you have central, you know, autocratic authority, you know, such as described, you know, in the days of Greece, you know, that you need philosopher kings. And that's really the game that's going on right now, is a much, much bigger story. These are just kind of sideshows. And the idea that Mueller, you know, would hire 17 Democrats, 15 of which were major contributors to Hillary Clinton, and not a single Republican, probably tells you that they're playing for bigger bananas here than, a normal political scuffle. It's really you're at the inflection point of whether we're going to, you know, whether China was going to become, you know, more democratic, or, you know, the United States and the Western world are going to become more communist. And that's really the competition. That's what Mueller really represented, was a palace coup, isn't it?
Sure. That's exactly what he represented.
It's a palace coup by the people who have won, you know, in the new era. Those people who managed to put themselves in bureaucratic senior positions or you know, internationally trade positions, where who you know is better than what you do. And that's the competition that's now beginning to unwind, because it's all coming to a point. Trump is threatening the new world order, depending on what you want to define it as, a new world order. You know, Bill Clinton managed to, you know, bail himself out by triangulating, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he triangulated to globalism and multinational corporations, who are more than happy to take his, you know, to get his support in passing WTO and changing, you know, and finding a place where you could manufacture in volume for two bowls of rice. Now, that only cost America probably 30 million jobs. You know, 30 million good jobs. Those people may have got jobs in other places, but they went from making $26 an hour with overtime, you know, so averaging, you know, $65,000, $70,000 a year, you know, living in, you know, more rural areas, more fringe type areas. A lot of those people were farmers with great skills that needed the, you know, a real job during the day so they could farm in the morning at night. But all that was traded away for this, you know, better good of, you know, bringing billions of people out of poverty. Well, you know, you could always have taxed people a way to bring them out of poverty, but that really is very difficult. You know, so what you do is you simply find another form of tax. You essentially trade their job away. And so when you see Mueller there, you know, he's trying to keep the revolution and the coup going. Because at the end of all palace coups, all revolutions, you know, they take people's head off, whoever loses, right?
That's a fact.
So, you know, there's probably enough that came out this morning that at a minimum, Mueller should be disbarred. You know, and if it was any other country, he probably would be imprisoned. And he's clearly committed, you know, prosecutorial crimes. And he spent his life putting people in prison for much less than he's been doing. And now he's on the bubble. You know, what does he say? What does he do? You know, there's this lawsuit by one of the Russians, Concord Management, that supposedly, you know, had been a troll farm and had manipulated the election. But
right.
For some reason, this guy in Russia decides to sue and say, I didn't do it. And now it's sort of, you know, the table is turned when it's very, very clear that there was no evidence to ever indict him. And that guy's looking for money. You know, he's going to make the U.S. government, he's going to take it all the way to the point of decision and, you know, to out these people. You know, yesterday you found out that the number two person in the FBI or the FBI investigation, Weissman, you know, had gone to Ukraine, and he had basically offered a plea deal for the Ukrainians who'd committed all kinds of crimes if they would give dirt on Trump. Now, remember that Mueller himself allowed several murders, Whitey Bulger, to get away with several murders because he was an informant for the FBI. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
And there's a whole bunch of, you know, there's still people screaming about that. And, you know, the FBI claims the statute of limitations has expired, and it was their prosecutorial, you know, what I don't know what the word for it is, prosecutorial
judgment.
Discretion. Don't right. you love that word, discretion?
Yeah, I heard a lot about that this morning.
Yeah. So you're now in the same position where, you know, it's somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. But as I said, overnight, the Chinese came out with a white paper that pretty much said, you know, if you think that we're going to change to be more like the liberal order of democracy,
guess again,
you're wrong. Yeah. We have the same intentions that we've always had. We're now stronger and richer and more powerful. And if we have to go a separate way, we'll go a separate way. But we have no intention of getting off of our game plan.
Well, let me bring everybody kind of up to speed here. I've had, you know, time to basically look at all the things that, you know, really we have to compact in just a few short minutes. But because of these hearings, but this is some of the stuff. This is the backdrop. I'm going to read these stories. I'm going to start with this Mueller reporting. At least this is what we're seeing on Drudge. My report did not exonerate Trump. Can be indicted after justice. Confused, stuttering. Could you repeat that question? Live tracking deflections. Frail performance. This is painful. This is the media frenzy, they say so far. In my estimation, I'll plug it in here, he looked terrible and he performed terrible, which I don't think is going to help him with any of his credibility issues. And, of course, then this is the real meat and potatoes going on here, ladies and gentlemen. This is why Chris is here with us. This is Netflix, long, cruel summer, hate watching. And, of course, the Netflix thing there, Chris, is because they had a huge drop, right? Sheds $24 billion in value days after growth miss. Shocking. Another one here. Apple seeks tariff exemption after moving Mac production to China. FTC slap on the wrist for Zuckerberg. Widespread investigation. And this is some more of this. And I'm going to get to the China-Taiwan thing in a second. Google engineer goes public. Tech dangerous taking sides. Manipulated political video. Justice opens new antitrust review of big tech. It's a widespread investigation. And now this one here, which is really kind of buried in Drudge, which I think is like bigger than the Mueller thing. Beijing takes aim at USA, Taiwan in new military blueprint. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, last night, you know, remember yesterday you had four countries face off with co-Russian Chinese flights by Russian A-50 command and shots were fired. You know, 300 rounds were fired by South Korean jets and Japanese jets against this Russian bomber that went right through their airspace. I mean, so not only were they intercepted, they kept going. You know, even when they fired rounds, they kept going.
So let's kind of brief everybody on that one. There was a joint mission between Russians and also the Chinese in and around Korea. It scrambled jets from the South Korean and Japanese air forces, basically, and shots were fired. And like you said, there were 300 rounds that were fired. That's kind of like a military action, isn't it?
Yes, yes. you know, these are... Dokdo Islands and Takashima are claimed by both Japan and South Korea. And the amazing part was that the bomber just flew right through it. I mean, you know, the Chinese claim what's called the donkey's tongue, which yeah. basically takes the entire South China Sea and goes all the way down and pushes the Philippines exclusive area into 12 miles of their shore, pushes the Vietnamese within 12 miles of their shore, and claims all the South China Sea and all of the mineral assets
right.
in the South China Sea, which was, you know, our tremendous oil and gas assets. So, you know, flying a nuclear bomber across somebody else's territory, locked and loaded, probably hasn't happened in a while, right? You had two Chinese H-6 bombers join the, you know, the Russian military aircraft on sorties through the region as well. I mean, this is pretty much what geopolitics are all about, right? We have busted up. It is very clear that China, Xi Jinping, believes he's going to be the next emperor. He's going farther. The only guy since this is, you know, it kind of goes back to the days of Mao.
Right.
You know, that I'm that the exclusive leader. And, you know, how do you play this game? Either China has to change to keep the game going, or they need to go back to the way they were. And going back to the way they were, you have all these people in Hong Kong know exactly what that means, right?
Right. That's why they're protesting.
It is amazing that a country of 7 million, over 2 million get out in the street. I mean, you know, how could you get 18% of America in the street?
It's obviously pretty hard to do that. But, you right. know, you so, never know what might be happening. Look at Puerto Rico.
But, well, I mean, Paul, I understand there's politics, and I understand there's reality. I mean, just because we have political differences don't mean we don't have strategic differences, you know, military differences. And it doesn't mean somebody's not willing to go the extra mile and, you know, do something with those military differences because, after all, you know, the trade game is over. Why should I play by the old rules? And well, they're not playing by the old rules right now. It's very clearly they're pushing the envelope.
Well, and, you know, the other part of it, too, is that what Donald Trump has brought is a little bit of sanity back to what's beneficial to the United States rather than the United States just giving it all up, you know, helter-skelter, which is what's been happening up until he came around, at least since the Clinton era, Clinton to Obama era. But now we have the situation where Donald Trump has levied the tariffs, which has put a lot of financial pressure on China. He's putting a definite end to all the other things that have been going on with China, such as the theft of intellectual property and all that other good stuff. So China's in a financial bind just on that level, but it's also in a bigger financial bind, as we've well documented, Chris, in many, many other respects. And, of course, now you throw throw some fat into the fire, so to speak, and that's the California public employee retirement system, or PERS, which is heavily invested, as we found out, in the Chinese military, the People's Liberation Army, and companies that have sprung up from that. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, it's hilarious. You know, talk about how stupid government is. You get an expert in China investments, you know, now, kind of 20 years late, aren't you? I mean, if you're the biggest pension plan in the world, you're supposed to see over the mountain. You're supposed to see over the mountain, down the valley, into the far plain. You know, that's what you get paid for. You can't trade like some hedge fund guy and get little pieces of, you know, what happens in the news. You got to make real commitments long term. Why would anybody in their right mind bet that China is going to remain capitalist and somehow you're going to buy their really? Stocks and you're going to make profits because, you know, they'll pay entrepreneurs and they won't, you know, take all their assets away. Well, I mean, it's just the whole thing's just perplexing. But it's not perplexing if you live in this bubble. You know, Aristotle talked about the philosopher king.
Right.
That was, you know, almost, you know, 2,500 years ago, the philosopher kings that would run countries, and they would be noble and humanitarian. And part of that noble and humanitarian, you know, was that they'd invade other people if they decided it was good for Greece. He didn't talk about that part of the book, but, you know, clearly to have a philosopher king that has complete control, you have to take control away from other people, right? because they can't be trusted, regular people. And that's really the competition of ideas. In China, they took it to the point where, you know, the entrepreneurs were starting to run the country. You know, that it was
right.
it was becoming a different country. And the communists said, we either go now or we let this continue. And Xi Jinping has what? He's imprisoned, you know, almost 600,000.
He doesn't get this capitalistic behavior, you know, free market activity.
I would call imprisoning 600,000 people, pretty big deal. You know, when you saw what happened in Saudi Arabia, when the crown prince put them all in the Ritz Hotel and turned them upside down and shook them to get $120 billion. I mean, that's kind of what Hong Kong sees is about to happen, you know? The commies are going to shake them and get all those assets back, and, you know, that's going to be the new game. Should be confused.
Right.
That the inflection has already taken place.
Yeah, it's kind of like what's happening in California, where the government's turning everybody upside down now and doing the shakeout, you know.
Well, I mean, they're not really, you know, Barack Obama said, that company, that business, you didn't make that business. He claimed that business was created by government actions and creating cities and roads and all that. He really believed that, you know, commercialism is it's always there, you just pick it up, and it's who's got the most power picks it up. He doesn't have any, you know, respect for anybody who's an entrepreneur creates anything, because he doesn't create anything himself. Why would he?
Yeah, so let's talk for a second about the effect of Silicon Valley business. Sheds $24 billion in value days after growth missed. This is Netflix. Your comment on Netflix.
Well, Netflix is, you know, eventually you run out of customers. I mean, you know, if you have a great idea, the worst thing that can happen to a great idea is that people realize it's a great idea. You know, Netflix's business was built off everybody else selling them or giving them assets so that they could resell them for a higher price. And that worked for a while, you know. I mean, there were a lot of people who made movies for, you know, and were able to sell them to Netflix, and then Netflix in the last 2 years started making their own movies along with Amazon, right? You know, if you're competing against your partners, I mean, those partners are going to go a different direction. You know, ABC, Disney's going a different direction. They're going to have their own feed. I think NBC is going to have their own one. You know, all these other channels are going to come where you can go directly and cut out Netflix's 20% overhead. You know, that's pioneering. He's the guy laying down with arrows in his back, and you walk across him, you know, to the promised land. So I think that technology is highly overrated as far as what has happened. I mean, what has happened the last 20 years is you've really had software, and software isn't as impressive as physics, you know, really things that change because you have fantastic things you discover, new ways of doing things in physics. Most of this has been software. And the idea we're talking about, autonomous, I love that. 35 years ago, there were 100-ton dump trucks running around in mines all over Canada and the U.S. That were autonomous, didn't have drivers. And they go over here and they'd fill it up with ore and take it over there to the refinery and, you know, drove around mines. These mines sometimes were, you know, almost a mile deep. And, you know, incredibly wide, been going on for a long time. Now you call it technology, but the real technology is coming, and the real technology is there's a whole revolution coming right now in materials and the idea that you can manufacture in space. I mean, these are really changing the arithmetic.
Well,
today's of Santa Clara and software.
That's what I wanted to get into, because the paradigm is being shifted in all of Silicon Valley, and the
right.
FANG stocks are really at risk here. And for those of you that don't know what we're talking about when we mention the FANG stocks, you're talking about Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google. And, of course, Google has its own set of problems, or it's actually its own desire now to be moving out of the United States, apparently. and going all in on China, as Peter Thiel had his speech that he gave last week. And, of course, that's just, I think, added more fuel to the fire for the Justice Department to go in there with an antitrust review of them. Google is going to, of course, be missed in Silicon Valley. That's a huge depletion of tax revenue for the state of California. And if Apple's doing the same thing,
Paul, they don't. No. Those companies don't pay tax. Those companies have lobbyists and people like that. They don't pay tax. They have their patents offshore. You know, they're international in corporate reality. The fact that they have, you know, lots of people in California is another issue.
But they have receipts they have to pay to the state of California some way to keep California afloat.
Well, the California floats off capital gains from
right.
them.
You know, right.
You get the spectacular, that's much bigger than, you know, corporate taxation. Corporate taxation collections in California actually been going down.
Right.
You know, they drove all the small and medium-sized companies that have nowhere to hide from the corporate tax collector. They have no lobbyists. You know, that's who's been moving to Texas and other places. But when you look at this whole game that's going on right now, it's very, very clear that Mueller and the dossier and all that was an international conspiracy.
Oh, yeah.
It was a coup, you know, of inside players from around the world. There was Ukraine there. You know, you had the British involved.
You had the Five Eyes. The Five Eyes.
I mean, you were messing with the game.
Right.
And they understood from the start that Trump was going to destroy the world as they knew it. Their new world order was about to end, and they might as well fight, and that's what they did. The fact that how could Peter Strzok and Lisa Page not be in chains?
Oh, it's just, but you know, I mean, once again, it's been the
same. These are really dangerous criminals that are walking the streets free right now.
Yeah. Well, as it stands with New California in position where we're at right now, it's actually a very good position for New California. For old California, this is some of the bittersweet stuff that's happening in Silicon Valley with the FANG stocks. And once again, Netflix, long, cruel summer, as it says here on Drudge, and says they've lost quite a bit of money. As it says, 24 billion in value days after growth miss. And of course, that growth miss is what Chris has been talking about was going to happen to FANG and these other stocks. And of course, then when that growth miss really hits, it's going to hurt California bad for tax receipts coming in. Of course, that's the problem that they probably are going to start to see in November, October, and that October, November in that time frame. Wouldn't you agree, Chris? Start to see it then.
Yeah, I mean, all of this is coming. You know, all of this has basically happened. You know, the fact that you're hearing about it now is sort of the, you know, you have the lightning and then you have the thunder that follows. But the thunder's a long time. You know, we've already made this change. You're now just getting a view of it. I mean, can you imagine that the former head of the FBI is now being in front of Congress under oath, and part of what he's talking about is his personal crimes?
Yeah, it's just amazing.
Let's face it, Comey basically was a non-patriotic J. Edgar Hoover without garter belts. I mean, whether you like J. Edgar Hoover or hate J. Edgar Hoover, and there's a lot of things to hate about J.
Right,
Edgar Hoover,
right.
He truly believed he was a patriot.
Yeah,
you know,
this guy
I don't
believe Comey sees himself as a patriot at all. And
he doesn't. That word is not a word he would use.
Right. I get your, and now you know your analysis there of between the two, that clearly J. Edgar Hoover, like him, love him, whatever, he was a patriot through and through, and there's no question about that. Mueller, on the other hand, not a patriot, never been a patriot. And, you know, there's so many other things. I know he was out here in Northern California at one point in time, and there's always a lot of talk that we dig up, you know, about what he did out here, some of the similar cruel things that he did to put people that were innocent behind bars, which seems to be his big old thing, you know. It seems to be that's the reality check for him. I guess the question is about China, because it seems to be a hot button right now. Xi Jinping has got to be feeling a little bit more desperate every single day, and his strategy seems to be maybe war as a relief valve. Your thoughts?
Well, it's funny that, you know, one of the economists that I follow, I actually pay for the service, called Endoeconomics. You know, they've been the best at following this, but at the start of the 2006, they warned of the bill for the China shop. And what they meant by the bill for the China shop is that you can, that sort of like everybody ran over one side of a ship, and eventually, you know, the ship starts to roll, right? And they assumed that there was warning of a financial crash coming, and that after the financial crash came, there would be this, you know, natural movement back to nationalism, and that it would break up. They never saw Barack Obama would double down on globalism. They couldn't imagine that Americans would be so foolish as to vote for their own demise.
You know, it's kind of interesting the way they shuffled Hillary out and Obama in back in 2008. And I've often wondered, and you bring that point up because it's about the same time frame, was that the real turning point, obviously, when Obama was going to be that person who was going to double down?
I think that Hillary was happy to have that job, but she would have not been. She didn't have,
right,
you know, the urbane communication and, you know, the timing of the, you know, stock market crash and the rest of it. I mean, the great mistake that Bush made.
15 seconds. We've got to go for a break.
That he agreed to bail out. You know, agreed to bail out Lehman Brothers.
Yeah.
If he let Lehman Brothers go, it would have been horrible, and then it would have been over.
Okay. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen. More to come here on Agenda 21 Radio with Chris Street, talking about China, 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 and then New California, New California. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and as you know, my passion is to help each and every one of you get the best sleep of your life. That's why I created my new Giza Dreams bed sheets. I guarantee you they'll be the most comfortable sheets you'll ever own. I started by using the world's best cotton called Giza. It's only grown in a region between the Sahara Desert, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Nile River. It's ultra soft and breathable, but extremely durable, which is why I can give you my full 10-year warranty. But I didn't stop there. My Giza sheets also include full 21-inch wide pillowcases that will fit over any pillow and deep pocket sheets that will fit over any mattress. I guarantee you the first night you sleep on my sheets, you'll never want to sleep on anything else.
Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now. MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets are available in a variety of colors and will be the softest, most comfortable sheets you will ever own. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. Giza Dreams are made with the finest, most sought-after cotton in the world. Giza cotton was once reserved for only the finest dress shirts, but is now available in Mike's Giza Dream Sheets. They feature a beautiful silky sateen weave that helps keep you cool and comfortable all night long. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen right now to get your very own MyPillow Giza Dream Sheets. Use the promo code and Mike will give you 30% off and free shipping. That's right, 30% off and free shipping. Call or go online now.
Call 800-266-4715. That's 800-266-4715 when you use the promo code AGENDA. 800-266-4715, promo code AGENDA.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to A21R.com, that's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's A21R.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.
It's part of our tradition.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
And we're back here on Agenda 21 Radio with Chris Street and kind of monitoring what's going on in these hearings. It's kind of interesting. This is what Drudge just now posted up, dazed and confused, with a picture of Mueller. And I'll tell you, after what I listened to for the first, a half hour before showtime, and then, of course, 2.5 hours or 2 hours and about 2.5 hours listening to this guy, I would say absolutely appropriately titled Dazed and Confused. And, Chris, you know, not only is he dazed and confused, but, of course, the Democrats have got to be more dazed and confused than ever now.
I think, Paul, that this is the inflection point where they're all confused. They can't believe they lost.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, the grieving is a science, that how you handle people that grieve. Is there any doubt that the left is grieving?
Well, I'll tell you, it is. When I saw him just get up there and as he started to walk in, he's an adult man. You know, adult is the word, but not just adult. He's shaking and quivering and quaking all over the place. And it makes you wonder, I mean, really, when you start to look at it that way, the first thing I thought, I said, how credible are his answers going to be? And quite frankly, they didn't appear credible at all, what answers he gave. It was clear that they were coaching him by way of the Democrats. He had been coached beforehand about what to look for, what to be responsive to. But I do want to say that, Chris, this has got to just be a monster bad day for the Democrats overall. And that, you know, this any assemblage of hope, I guess you would say, that they're going to have is just not there.
Well, and you're also setting the record here, Paul. Remember that you haven't seen the Inspector General's report. It was supposed to come out in July, and they delayed it because of Mueller. I mean, everything that Mueller's saying, you know, could be confounded by the Inspector General report. Mueller could get, you know, Mueller may be committing crimes if he lies.
Well,
think about that. I mean, you know,
go ahead.
I mean, somebody like Mueller, who's put God knows how many people away, the FBI, in prison, you know, the thing that the prisoners actually have a code of honor. You know, Giuliani put a lot of people in prison, but he never disrespected their family. He always treated them. You know, they got the right to use the legal system. You know, he didn't make them do perp walks in front of people. You know, Mueller's done all that stuff. He was the exact opposite. And when you see somebody like Mueller, who has enjoyed, you know, the politics and the game, you know, that guy, think about what happens if that guy goes to prison.
Oh, yeah.
Who's he dating?
No Bubba for you.
So I'm just saying that, you know, and should there be lots of prisoners now who, you know, file appeals based on, you know, a crooked FBI director? Well, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things here that are beyond bizarre. Why wasn't there a criminal referral when they found out about, you know, Peter Sporek? You know, this Mefed guy?
Yeah.
They never interviewed him. The guy that started all this was never interviewed, and they asked him, was he our intelligence? Was he Russian intelligence? You know, and Mueller wouldn't answer.
Well, you know,
why wouldn't he, under oath, answer the simple fact, why didn't you interview this guy?
Right. And I think the person who really brought it home was this Debbie Lesko from from Arizona when she was asking him about, you know, how many times did, you know, the second report seems to be nothing more but than a series of regurgitations of media reports. And then she goes and lists all these left-wing media, the mainstream media, and how many times he cited them in the report, which is just outrageous numbers of times. And then, oh, by the way, how many times for Fox News? And very little. I think that was a very, very damning thing. But the other part of it, I think Jim Jordan, man, he really got a piece of Mueller, and Mueller was dazed and confused. I think that's really where the turning point was with Jim Jordan.
I don't like saying dazed and confused. He's not dazed and confused. He's devastated and afraid.
Right. And I think the term afraid is the big one.
Right. So he's playing the old man here.
Yep.
This is one mean little motor scooter. You've seen him in action already.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's out.
And the idea that somehow, you know, he's dissembling, fumbling, and playing old man. Well, I've seen that lots of times in business and, you know, in every other kind of history. But this is somebody who's, you know, every word he says now under oath becomes a fact. And facts are very dangerous things for people who don't respect facts.
Yeah, they have an article here from Mediaite. It says, this is painful. Pundits question Mueller's frail performance at hearing. By the way, I still think it's still going on. A number of pundits this morning have been questioning former special counsel Robert Mueller's performance at the hearing before the, of course, I guess I was pundit. I'm a pundit as well. Fox News' host Stuart Varney, who has interviewed me, actually, spoke with Judge Andrew Napolitano as the Mueller hearing got underway Wednesday. And Napolitano said so far it shows Mueller is a good Marine, and he's going to follow the instructions from the Department of Justice and basically not talk about ongoing cases. But, of course, now that's the bad news for both sides. He added, saying Democrats want to go into his thinking while Republicans want to question him about the origins of the investigation. At one point, Varney remarked, forgive me for making almost a personal comment, but Robert Mueller seems frail. He does not seem really sharp and in line with answering the question. Yes or no is what he's been giving. I go beyond that. I think if you're looking at it, Chris, in a standpoint, he's a very mean man. He's playing this up as a gag, so to speak.
I wouldn't call it a gag. I would call it a
survival technique,
well-trained survival methodology,
right.
For somebody who's, you know, the walls are coming in on him. I mean,
They know that. That's a fact.
I mean, everything he says here, he's going to own. He doesn't get to play the game he was playing before, where he could just make it up and then, you know, threaten people. Clearly, they tried to do, you know, a perjury trap with Trump. I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, if you really, you know, the transcripts here have been altered. I mean, when does that happen, that the FBI alters transcripts given to Congress?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that by definition fraud?
Right. And you know how much has been altered?
What did you know and when did you know it? I mean, nobody's asked him that question yet.
Well, no, that one person, I can't remember who it was. And God, what's his name? The guy from Florida. He did ask that question, and he proceeded to try it. And Tom McClintock, really, props to him. He's from California out here, and he really did an outstanding job of grilling and again, making him look like that frail man that couldn't perform or answer any kind of questions with any kind of certainty. That does not help the Democrats, in my opinion. It doesn't help. It's clear to me that what's going to happen here after just these few hours, if he's got more hours to go, it's going to get worse.
He's got
a whole
afternoon, Paul.
He's got a whole afternoon, man. Yeah. And I like the way they did handle the attorney that was with him, that he was going to butt in and answer a question, and then the questioner said, no, I'm going to talk to the man who's had his oath, was given his oath, is under oath, not you. I think that sort of diminished the value of that attorney sitting there, but they found a way to handle it.
I just think that we are, you know, the IG report comes out in mid-September. The IG was supposed to, my understanding, was supposed to issue the report, you know, in the first week of July, or the first week after the 4th of July. So the 4th of July and maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks after the 4th of July, you know, the IG was supposed to issue the report. That way he'd be available for, you know, hearings 2 weeks later. It was all sort of set up. And then Mueller, somebody decided to subpoena Mueller, and it put it all off to mid-September. What they say in this, I guarantee you what's being said in this hearing is going to go into the IG's recommendations.
Oh, yeah.
If there's any lying, if there's any lying here, I guarantee the inspector general is going to comment.
Well, and I think that's the bigger game for the inspector general, because what's going to happen, a lot of people don't understand what you, to many degrees, what you just said. Now that he's come out today and he's got all his testimony, he'll have about 6 hours of testimony total, that's going to all be parsed out. It's going to be investigated, what he said. So you've got teams of lawyers right now and prosecutors that are just taking that whole thing and pulling it apart and saying, okay, did he tell the truth here? It's very, very clear that he had some problems with the truth. You know, just from what I was watching and seeing the line of questioning. So is it the old frail man who didn't understand the question, maybe answered it wrong or what? I hope that they don't show any mercy, quite frankly, Chris.
I think we're gonna see what happens here, but it's very clear that you know, it's a very dangerous time for the left and people. I shouldn't say the left because it's probably unfair. You know, there are people on the left that are true believers. There's a lot of people that really want socialism and they're true believers. They're not dishonest. You know, they believe they're patriotic that way. And then there are the other people that you call the left, which are really the machine. And the machine is, it's got its own game and players, and there's money moving in that machine. And Bill Clinton put the machine at the top of the game. The idea that you would let China in to WTO without essentially any rules is just incredible.
Right.
I mean, the way it was, the concept was that it would be negotiated and that you would then put it up for hearings and, you know, then you'd get down to a better agreement. Bill Clinton just embraced the agreement, and when he left office, called it a done deal, and that's what we live with. That the next 6 years, you know, Americans were devastated. It was a great time in the stock market, a lousy time, you know, on Main Street. People, mm-hmm. you know, got rich and fantastic. I understand that. You know, I understand technology took off. I understand that the whole thing was wonderful for the few, but for the many, you know, it wasn't so good. You know, wages in America were strangled. For the first time, you know, since the Depression, you basically had bad wages in the early 2000s after the 9/11 crash. And then you went through a period of Obama where you had the lowest growth of any president since the Great Depression. I mean, that was...
Well, the other thing, too, is don't forget about the California economy and what was going on there with all the taxation regulation and pushing it out the middle class.
In California, at least you can move. You know, in the United States, you can't move.
Right, right. Not the whole United States.
Yeah, and that's, and you know, California still had some technology stuff and such like that, so they got some of the benefit. But when you look at the other 37 states that got no benefit from it, I mean, they should be good and angry. I mean, New California is one of those other states.
Right. No, that's exactly right. New California, if you take a look at our border, has been suffering as a result of it.
Right.
And, you know, it's only those places that have large urban areas. Anyway, Chris, tell us how we can get a hold of you. We've got to run for time.
Well, I write for American Thinker and for the Epoch Times, and, you know, we're living amazing times.
Yep, we are. Listen, Chris, thanks for being with us on Agenda 21 Radio. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to Agenda 21 Radio. Remember to visit our website, 821R.com. We're brought to you by the DEF system. If you want to protect all of your communications on your cell phone and text messages, use DEF. Anyway, thanks for listening, and stay strong, America. We are exceptional Americans.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life.
Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
You're listening to Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio. Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protecting your phone conversations from snooping agencies, foreign governments, and those who would use your conversations to hurt you and your family is the most important action that you can take today. DEF, Defense Enabling Assisting Framework, protects all your conversations and text messages. Don't find your conversations on social media sites or in the storage bins with big governments around the world. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system. I've used the DEF system since 2014 and have been 100% protected. Go to a21r.com, that's a21r.com, and sign up for the DEF system today. That's a21r.com and sign up for the DEF system today. Protect your conversations today with the DEF system.